Proverbs chapter 3. I'll be reading verses 19 through 26. Proverbs 3, 19 through 26. Proverbs 3, 19 through 26. It says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up, and clouds drop down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." You may be seated. Join our hearts together in prayer as we come to the preaching of God's word. Our Father, we thank you so much that you've given us infallible, perfect revelation. And we do pray that you would help us to understand it and to apply it for the good of our souls and our perseverance in this earthly pilgrimage. And so we just ask that by the grace of Jesus Christ, we would come to be more and more wise in what we do, in what we say, and in what we think. That we might be more wise in how we interact with others and how we seek to glorify, honor, and praise your name. And so we just pray that you would help us, help me as I preach your word. Please fill me by your Spirit to preach boldly and clearly from your word, that the people who are here, that are the sheep of Christ, might be fed by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. As I've mentioned, at least more than once, I'm not sure how many times, that Proverbs is all about wisdom and foolishness being contrasted. And over again, the one who is being spoken to in different ways and in different language is being, in different ways of saying it, is being encouraged to be wise, encouraged to walk in wisdom, encouraged to be one who has the knowledge of God and the knowledge of his ways. And that continues on in Proverbs 3, that we are to be wise in this present evil age, that we are to be wise in what we do, in what we say, and in what we think. That God wants us to have wisdom. Wisdom being that not only we know the facts, but we are walking in a way where we know how to apply those true and right facts in different situations. And so the main point of this sermon is Jehovah is the God of wisdom, and we must follow in his steps. Jehovah is the God of wisdom, and we must follow in his steps. My first point is, Jehovah is the God of wisdom. Jehovah is the God of wisdom. My second point is, walking in Jehovah's wisdom. Walking in Jehovah's wisdom. Again, my first point, Jehovah is the God of wisdom. And that's what it's getting at in verses 19 to 20. The Lord, or Jehovah, when Lord is all caps in our Bible, it's referencing God's name, Jehovah. Jehovah, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down the dew. And so we see in these verses that the writer of Proverbs, by the Holy Spirit, is saying that Jehovah is the pattern for wisdom. And he shows us that Jehovah, by wisdom, founded the earth. When we look at the earth and all the complexity of it, all the intricacy of it, we see that the one who made it is a God of wisdom. that when we look at this present world, we see that the one who made it is very, very wise. If we think about our body, and obviously Jehovah made the earth and everything in it. If we think about our body and all the complexity to our eye and all the specific details about how our eye works or how our body recovers or our DNA or all these things that Jehovah made, and he had to be, and he is, a wise God. Therefore, he was able to make our bodies in such a way to work perfectly in how he made us. To be able to recover and see and hear and smell, or how he made the earth and everything in it, how he made the sun just far enough where we don't fry up and just close enough where we don't freeze. That he made everything exactly how it was supposed to be. We know we live in a sin-cursed world because of the fall, but we know that the way God made things, because he is a God of wisdom, he founded the earth in wisdom. By wisdom, Jehovah founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. This is somewhat distinguishing the earth as we know it, where we live, and the heavens being the atmosphere and outer space. And so he made both. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it was by wisdom that he founded the earth, and it was by understanding that he established the heavens. Because God is all wise and has perfect understanding, he was able to make the world and everything in it perfectly how he saw fits, so that every creature that he made would be exactly the way he wanted it to be. Again, this is not denying, of course, that we live in a broken, fallen world, that things are not the way they are supposed to be. But even still, even in a fallen world, we still see the wisdom of the true and living God in how he made all things. That we can see, that we can smell, that we can hear, and we can see all the things that God has made, all the creation that he's made are to testify to his wisdom. And so one thing that God reveals in general revelation, meaning in what he's made, is the heavens declare the glory of God. He declares his wisdom. When we look at the creation, when we look at everything around us, when we look at our own bodies, we see how wise the God who made it was. That's something that people don't need a Bible to know. Obviously, they don't know exactly who the God is, but meaning they don't know he's triune, etc., those specifics. But they know God through what he's made. The heavens declare his glory, and they declare the glory of his wisdom. That he was wise. He knew all the facts, and he knew exactly how to carry out those things in founding the earth and establishing the heavens. And so this is the God who reigns. He's the God of wisdom. He founds the earth. He establishes the heavens. And we see the two things that are focused on in that verse are his wisdom and his understanding. And then it goes on to say, by his knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. So more specific about how God has made things and how the depths are broken up, how the clouds drop down their dew, how all these things are because of Jehovah's wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Because Jehovah is perfect in understanding and wisdom and knowledge, he made the world and everything in it, the heavens and the earth, exactly how he wanted it to be. So that his knowledge, the depths were broken up. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. Sometimes we can think about how the world is and how it's consistent, how we know that when we wake up in our manner of speaking, the sun is going to rise, it's going to set, all these different things that we take for granted. Not realizing that these things happen the way they do because Jehovah, by wisdom, founded the earth. And by understanding, he established the heavens. The reason why we do not die from heat or die from being frozen is because Jehovah, by wisdom, founded the heavens and the earth. That's why. Sometimes we can think, if we're not careful, me included, almost like a naturalist, almost as if things just kind of happen naturally without any intervention or any wisdom outside of themselves. But we need to remember, I need to remember that everything that takes place because the God of heaven and earth founded it and made it that way because he's a God of wisdom. That it was based on his wise, sovereign purposes, that by wisdom he would found the earth and by understanding he would establish the heavens. And so we see that Jehovah is the God of wisdom. That is highlighted to make sure we know that The reason why we are to follow wisdom and to trust God in his declaration of wisdom is because the God who is a God full of wisdom. But then we see in my second point, walking in Jehovah's wisdom. Walking in Jehovah's wisdom. We see in verse 21, "My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion." When it says in verse 21, "My son, let them not depart from your eyes," it seems to make sense in the context that the "them" is God's wisdom, God's understanding, and God's knowledge. Let them not depart from your eyes. That we are to remember and seek and know that the God who is a God of wisdom. And therefore, we are not to let those truths depart from our eyes. Instead, we are to keep sound wisdom or guard sound wisdom and discretion. That our lives should be characterized by keeping, by guarding, by nurturing our hearts and our lives to be one of wisdom and discretion. To be one of wisdom and discretion. That we should live in such a way that we are not being foolish, not living like the world, just making foolish decisions, but we should keep and guard sound wisdom and discretion. And the reason why, again, is given because that's who our God is. If we are following after this God, who is the God of wisdom, then our desire should be to imitate him as his dearly beloved children. That we should want to be wise as our God is wise. Because wisdom is what we call a communicable attribute of God, meaning it's an attribute that he shares with us. And therefore, we are to imitate God in walking in wisdom, by keeping sound wisdom, keeping discretion, and all the things connected with that. Because then verse 22 says, "So they will be life to your soul." When we are keeping sound wisdom, when we're keeping discretion, they will be life to our souls and grace to our neck. When we have this, there comes God's blessing and God's help and God's strength. And we are able, as we're keeping sound wisdom and discretion, we are able to have them as life for our soul and grace to our neck, which is describing the blessing and the encouragement that comes from walking in sound wisdom and discretion. That we are not to live as the world says. Again, the contrast in Proverbs 2 is worldly thinking versus godly thinking. The way that the world says is right and the way God says is right. And we see from this text that when we walk in God's ways, there is life, there's blessing to our soul and to our neck. It's similar to what Jesus says in John 10 and verse 10, that we should, that Christ came that we might have life and life abundantly. That the life we might have might be a blessing. It might not be a life that the world says is good, but it's a life that Christ says is abundant life because it's lived before God with a good conscience, knowing that all of our sins are forgiven. It's living a life knowing that we are reconciled to God as our Heavenly Father. It's a life lived knowing that our lives are not to be not being conformed to this world that's passing away, but we have a hope beyond the grave. All these things that help us to know that keeping sound wisdom and discretion is life to our soul and grace to our neck. And then it says in verse 23, "Then you will walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble." We see that there is safety in walking in wisdom. God's ways are safe and protected and kept. When we walk in God's ways, there is a security that we receive knowing that his ways are best and good and pleasant and right. And so there's a safety. It doesn't mean that we'll never experience evil against us. But even in that evil, even in that trouble, we know that because we are in God's will, there is safety. There is safety for us in our way. This is something that people can so easily worry about. This is why money and possessions can be such a big deal to people, because that's where they find safety and security. And so they find safety and security, not in the wisdom of God, not in the God of wisdom, but they find safety and security preeminently in the stuff that they have. That their security is found not in what God gives them in the sense of his wisdom and discretion that comes from him, but their safety comes from they know their bank account is full with money. They know that they have heat in their home. And obviously it's not wrong to want these things, but when these become our preeminent safety, when we say my safety is not in God, but it's in this stuff that I have, then we don't really have safety. Because those things can always be taken from us. Those things can always fail us. Those things can always be plundered from us. But the God who doesn't change can never be. And therefore, our safety is not in what we have. Our safety is who we know. Our safety is in the God of heaven who has promised to keep his people and to guard his people and lead them safely to their heavenly home. And so we walk safely in our way, not because of what we have. We walk safely in our way because we know Jehovah, the living God. That's where our safety comes. Our safety comes from knowing him and being found in him and being redeemed by Jesus Christ. We can also walk safely in our way because by nature we are not safe in our way. By nature we are under the wrath of God. By nature we are headed for hell. By nature we are deceitful and desperately wicked. By nature, we are straying from God and wandering from God. That's how we are by nature. And that path is not safe. That path is a place of destruction. That path is one of misery and sorrow. That path is not safe whatsoever. And if we feel safe in our place without God and without hope and without Christ, then we are of all men most to be pitied. But when we come to embrace the Christ who came into the world to live and die and to be risen from the dead to save sinners, we find safety not in what this present age can give us, but we find safety ultimately in the God who is a God of wisdom keeps us unto the end. We find safety and security ultimately that our lives are not dependent on this present evil age, but are dependent on the God who cannot lie. And then it goes on to say in verse 23, and your foot will not stumble. Not only will you walk safely in your way, your foot will not stumble. Obviously, we know this can't mean that a child of God never sins, because other scriptures tell us that we will. And then until we reach heaven, we will battle and fight against remaining sin and even stumble at times. But what I think this is getting at is the pattern of our life, if we are walking and keeping sound wisdom and discretion, is that the pattern of our life will be increasing more and more, putting off sin and putting on righteousness. That more and more our feet will not stumble because we are walking in God's path. More and more sins that used to creep up and tempt us will become less and less tempting. Sins that might more and more have more and more tempting power over us, we will more and more slay them. That our feet will not stumble. So God's people will stumble, but their attitude towards sin and their growth against sin will grow. And obviously, this proverb says, well, the righteous man falls 7 times, but God picks him up. And so we see that even when we stumble, we know that we won't stumble unto destruction. We won't stumble unto apostasy. We won't stumble in the sense that we will no longer be kept by God. But we will more and more find our feet secure in the paths of righteousness that God leads us on for his name's sake. And then verse 24, it says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. This is all, again, connected with keeping sound wisdom and discretion. That when we lie down, you will not be afraid. That when we are keeping sound wisdom, when we are applying to our heart the wisdom that comes from God, that encourages us that we have no reason to be afraid. That is a very countercultural reality. That when we are walking and keeping sound wisdom and discretion, you will not be afraid. That means when we are preaching to ourselves that God is sovereign over all things, when we are preaching to ourselves that he has redeemed us by Jesus Christ, when we are preaching to ourselves that even to die is gain, as it says in Philippians 1:21, when we are preaching to ourselves the reality that if God be for us, who can be against us? When we are preaching to ourselves that there is nothing that can come upon me outside of my Father's good pleasure, then that allows us to not be afraid. And this is such a needed word in a day and age where so many people are afraid about so many things, that if we are keeping sound wisdom and discretion, and our life is not ultimately built in this present age, then we will be able to lie down and not be afraid. You know why so many people are afraid in our day? A big thing is because they have so built their life in this present age that they're so worried about it being taken away from them. These are the people that are worried more than anyone else because they have so stocked their life that all their hope, all their confidence, all that they have is in this present age. And therefore, they will do whatever it takes, are deeply afraid to lose it. And that's why for the child of God, we must never hold on to this present age as if this is our ultimate home. Otherwise, we will be afraid because we don't want to go there because we've stocked up so much here that we don't want to go there. We don't want to go to the next age. We don't want to go to the world that is yet to come because we've so built our life on this age, and therefore we're afraid of 10 million things because we're so afraid that if we lose it, our life will be ruined. Because what was our hope in? It wasn't in the life that was to come. It was in this present age. And therefore what happened? We can't lie down and not be afraid because we are so invested in this world. We have so many things to think about that we are not trusting in the providence of God, the goodness of God, and our life being in the age to come. This is why for some people, I'm not saying for everyone, but this is why when people get more stuff or more money and they accrue more and more, it can actually make their life more stressful because they have more to worry about. They have more to lose. They have more to miss out on. And so therefore they lie down and are afraid because they're not sure what will happen. And this is why too, beloved, we must always and consistently be preaching to ourselves that we can lie down and not be afraid. Why? Because God is on our side. Do we believe that God knows what is best for our life? Do we believe that everything that comes in our life is under His predetermined plan? Do we believe that everything is shifted under His fatherly hands? And therefore we can trust that nothing comes up upon us or against us that God does not believe is for our best interest. That is freeing for people. When they realize that this feels hard, this feels troublesome, but I don't have to be afraid because I know if God would not spare His own Son for me, I know that everything else He will do for my good. That I know that everything else that God is doing in my life is because He loves me and He cares for me and He wants what's best for me. Therefore, I can lie down and not be afraid because I know that the God of heaven and earth is on my side. Is on my side. He is with me and for me. And wants what is good for me. That is freeing and a beautiful truth to know. And then it goes on to say in verse 24, yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. When we are practically applying the doctrine of God's sovereignty, of God's goodness, of God's providence, we can lie down and sleep with sweet sleep. What a blessing that is when we are applying that truth that God is sovereign and good and knows what I need. We can lie down and sleep with sweet peace because we know that even in trial, God has not forgotten about us. Charles Spurgeon is famous for saying, or somewhat of a famous quote, he says, "The sovereignty of God is the pillow in which I can lay my head on at night." The sovereignty of God is the pillow on which I can lay my head on at night. That we are able to lie down and sleep, and our sleep will be sweet. Not because we're trusting in ourselves, not because everything going the way we want it, not because everything is exactly how we would have it, but we know that the God who loves us, and He proved that love by, and He demonstrated that love by giving Christ for us while we were yet sinners. He already proved once and for all, in this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He's already proved that He loved us. Why would God do that and then leave us? Why would God do that and say, you know what, I'm not going to do good for my people? Why would God give up His only begotten Son and say, you know what, I'm done with these people? No, God forbid that He would do that. He won't. And therefore we can trust that everything that comes our way is because He is good and does good. And you need this truth now, before suffering, in suffering, and after suffering. Because the best time to learn these truths, beloveds, are when life is pretty good for you. That's the best time to learn these truths. Not because they're directly applicable right now, but you can trust that when trial, well, they are applicable in a certain sense now, but when trials come, you can look back and you've been girded and rooted and strengthened, knowing that God is on his throne. And therefore, you are prepared for what comes upon you, being able to confess, if God is for us, who can be against us? And so this is the great hope. When we are keeping sound wisdom and discretion, which is pointing us to God and in God and for God and all his purposes for us, we don't have to be afraid and our sleep will be sweet. It goes on to say in verse 25, do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. This is connected as well. We don't have to be afraid of sudden terror because we know that it's according to God's purposes. So we don't have to fear. We don't have to have trouble when the wicked comes, or from the wicked when it comes. Because we are keeping sound wisdom and discretion. We are walking in the truth, and therefore we are freed from being afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble when the wicked comes, from the wicked when it comes. And so these things, again, are so different from our culture. Our culture fears so many things. It's afraid about so many different things. Death and disease and loss of money and loss of stuff. And they're so afraid of so many things that we, as God's people, should look very different from the world, because our life is not rooted and grounded in fearing what this world can give us or not give us. And so we don't have to fear sudden terror. We don't have to fear trouble when from the wicked when it comes. We're able to rest and trust in his sovereign care for our lives. We don't have to be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. And so you have to think about in your own life, as you think this very day, as I think this very day, what are ways where we can be afraid of sudden terror? What are ways where we can fear trouble from the wicked when it comes? And if we're fearing sudden terror or trouble from the wicked when it comes, where are we not at that moment applying God's wisdom? Because the text says if we're keeping sound wisdom and discretion, it will keep us from these things. And so what that means, if we are afraid of sudden terror, if we are afraid of the wicked when it comes, then what we are saying is at that moment, we are not, by God's grace, applying and keeping sound wisdom and discretion. So the answer for all of us, for me and for you, when that is happening, is to say, where am I not believing God? Where am I not trusting him? Where am I not believing that he knows what's best? So therefore, I have to think in my own hands, in my own desire, in my own will, to find security. Not find security in him, but finding security in something else, and therefore afraid of sudden terror and afraid of the trouble from the wicked when it comes. Because verse 26 says, the reason why we don't have to be afraid of sudden terror or of trouble from the wicked when it comes is because Jehovah will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. That he will be our confidence in terror, in trouble, in sleep, when we're afraid, all these different things. He will be our confidence. Our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence is not what we can accomplish. Our confidence is in him. And he will keep our foot, your foot, from being caught. And so these are the blessings of keeping sound wisdom and discretion as we follow and look to Jehovah, the God of wisdom. That we know that he will be our confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. My dad was telling me about this professional athlete that he got hurt. So a lot of the people around this team were professing Christians. This man was as well. And he got hurt and found out that it was a career-ending injury. And when he went through that, he was smiling and had joy. And this one man who saw a lot of hypocritical people who call themselves Christians but really weren't, He saw this man and he saw something different. And this man, even with this career-ending injury, was able to have joy and contentment. And this man asked him, he said, why are you able to have basically this type of spirit? I'm kind of paraphrasing the story, but this is the gist of it. Why are you able to have this type of spirit and contentment and joy? And he said, because this means that God must have something else for me. And I'm able to trust him that he has something else for me. Something to that effect. That he was able to trust that God ended his career, but he wasn't done with him. And therefore he was able to not be afraid even when that terror of a career-ending injury happened to him. He was able to say, this must mean that God must have something else for me. Must have something different for me. That God must have another plan for me because Jehovah was his confidence. And therefore he wasn't caught when this came upon him. He was able to trust that God must have something else for me. And I trust that if he ended my career this way, he must have something else for me in this time. And that's the spirit we must all have. When something doesn't work out the way we want, what should be our response? Not sudden terror, not being afraid, but trusting that God is good and therefore must have something else for our life at this particular season. This is how we must live if we are going to live different from the world. We must trust that Jehovah our God has good purposes in whatever he brings. I preached on this when we were going through the Sermon on the Mount. But if then you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We see this even in the life of Job, when Job had these things that were hard and difficult for him. At times he more trusted God, at other times he more questioned God. But what do we see that God's response was? God's main response was this, to summarize it. I'm God and you're not God. And therefore, you should be able to trust me if I'm God and you're not. Of what I bring upon your life that I have a reason for it. And Job responds and says, I put my hand over my mouth, I repent in dust and ashes. That what he was saying to God when he was very much doubting, at certain points Job was at high points, really trusting God. At other points, he had lower points. And when he began to doubt God, it was, I know better for me. What, there must be something wrong. I know better, and God shouldn't bring this upon me. And God comes to him at the end of the book and says, I'm God. I made all these things. I made heaven and earth. Nothing exists without me. And therefore, you can know that everything I bring is because it's for a good reason. And then obviously, we know this doesn't happen all the time, but God is kind to Job and restores everything he had and those type of things and provides for Job in that way. But Job had to learn the lesson through that God is God and he isn't. And that's where our hope should lie, that God is God and we are not. And therefore, our confidence, our hope, our commitment is not in what we bring to the table. Our confidence is not in us, but Jehovah will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. And so this is where our hope lies. So if you're here today and you ever would ask yourself the question, how can I overcome more and more the feeling that the world is so caught up of fear, sudden terror, and trouble from the wicked when it comes? God's answer is keep sound wisdom and discretion. And we get sound wisdom and discretion by knowing the God of the Word and the Word of God. That is the way that we are to be different in this world. People are not surprised that we have joy in the midst of prosperity. That doesn't surprise the world. But what stands out to the world is when they see Christians who are able in trials and sorrows to bless the name of their God. That's where it stands out. When they know that everything is not as you would like it, but you're still able to look up and say, blessed be the name of Jehovah. Blessed be his name. Whether he gives, whether he takes, whether he gives or whether he takes away, blessed be his name. Blessed be his name. And so for you, beloved, and for me, our great desire is to know more of the God of the Word and the Word of God, keeping sound wisdom and discretion so that we can have confidence in him, no matter what comes our way, that we might be able to trust him and look to him and believe him and therefore have the confidence that he will be our confidence and will keep our foot from being caught. And so may God cause us to have sound wisdom and discretion that comes from his word, that we might be people who trust him and be able to have our sleep sweet because we're laying, as Spurgeon said, on that pillow of God's sovereignty. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray you would apply to our heart and to our life that we would trust you, we would depend on you. In Jesus' name, amen.